Now, for the last several weeks, I have been talking to you about angels, and I don't know if I'll ever get through with it until we just fully see the manifestation of it. And I've come to the place that I believe that it's necessary that we believe in angels, because I find so many prophetic scriptures, parables, and teachings of Jesus in Matthew and Mark, where it's the angels that he's going to send to gather us. Amen. It's the angels that's going to take care of us. And I think it was, they quoted Brother Larry this morning of saying that if Jesus had a need of the angels to minister to him, then we need them too. There's 1,067 quotes of Brother Branham's that we have, where Brother Branham referred to angels, but there's places where he says, you don't have angels around you because you don't believe in them. And he also says that you don't live a life that they can come around. But the scripture talks about us having angels that camp around about us that fear the Lord. The scripture teaches us about angels who rejoice when one comes to repentance. In the Old Testament, you will find 13 major events concerning angelic visits. Ones like Hagar with Ishmael and Abraham and what God sent him out to do. And even with Moses, when God told him to the burning bush, Peter referred to that in the book of Acts, chapter 5, about that was an angel of God. You take angelic visits out of Brother Branham's ministry, and where do we go? Where do we start? It's something that was there all of his life. And the Lord willing, we're gonna play some excerpts of Brother Branham's tapes tonight, where Brother Branham talks about this. And I think that it's important, because the part that the angels played in teaching Brother Branham or helping him to understand what these mysteries were, maybe you haven't perceived it that way, but in me reading the scriptures in the Old Testament, the New Testament, and especially in Revelations, in referring back to what Brother Branham said, I'm more aware of the importance of angels in our lives today. Not only in the Old Testament, the 13 events he talked about, and there's places where people had conversations with them. The angel said, they said, the angel said, they said. He said unto them, he said no more. He came back, he visited, he left, he came back. There's about three of those in there. And one of them is with Balaam and the donkey. Yeah. And the donkey saw the angel. More spiritual than Balaam was. My daughter Karen had some things she wanted to say to me this week, as my daughter to her father, about my stress, my lifestyle. And she says, now, Daddy, maybe you look at me and think, well, God can't use you. You're a woman and you're not living right and you don't dress right. But she said, Daddy, God used a donkey. So let me be a donkey today and talk to you. So, man, she laid it on me. She's not a chip off of her mother. She's a chip off of me. And I told her I appreciated it, but you know, at least the truth is there that God can use anybody. Amen. Maybe you feel like you've been such a failure, you can't, but I saw a list this week of the people in the Bible that God used, and just about every one of them was a failure. Think of David and Moses and all of them. And the last one on that list was Lazarus, and he was dead. But God can use you.
Yes, amen.
Don't let Satan or anybody else ever tell you that you're worthless and cannot be used by God.
Right.
Because I don't care what you come up with, what fault, what trouble, what error you've got in your life, there is an example in your Bible where God used somebody worse than you. And don't commit an unpardonable sin by saying, God cannot forgive me. Brother Branham explained it like a little fish swimming in the ocean and said, well, I better not take a swaller, I might drink it all. How much do you think the grace of God is capable of forgiving? What sin or tarnishment or scar or mark in your life cannot the blood wash away? And it's not because you chose to love him, he chose to love you. He chose you. And if he chose to love you, you didn't make him love you. He loves you because he chose you. And if you can't make him love, well, what could you do to make him love you more? You've heard this before, but it bears repeating. You cannot make God love you more. And if you can't make him love you more, can you make him love you less? For it says nothing can separate you from the love of God. If God chooses to love you, you got a problem. You're being loved. And all that the Father has given and loved, they will come. Well, if you can't make him love you more and you can't make him love you less, then what part do you have to do in this? You can love him more.
Amen.
It's just like the brethren. You're not responsible for them loving you. But you are responsible for loving them.
Amen.
And even if they hate you, you are to love them.
Amen.
That's God's way. That's God's plan.
Yes.
That's the unconditional covenant that he has placed within us. And the danger that I feel a caution about with teaching about these angels is that there will be people who will misunderstand it, and they will maybe imitate it, like Brother Branham talks about the first, second, and third pull. When he tried to teach people about the first pull and the second pull, there was imitators came on the scene. But with the third pull, Brother Branham said, there won't be any imitators because I won't tell anybody. And I'm going to let him tell you this tonight in his excerpts we got about the difference in the first, second, and third pull and why it's important. Now, if I come along and I explain to you about angels in the New Old Testament and angels in the New Testament, angels in the book of Acts, angels in the book of Revelation, angels in Brother Bram's life, angels in my own experience in life, then there'll be some that say, oh, that happened to me. Oh, that happened to me. But you see, I can't be responsible if somebody makes up something. It's just like Brother Bram said, you can't teach Pentecostals gifts, the supernatural things, because there'll be imitations come along with it. Now, there's some people then says, well, do away with the gifts. That's not what Brother Bram said.
Right. Amen.
Just because somebody misuses them doesn't mean they're not real.
Right.
Brother Bram takes care of that by saying, have you ever seen a counterfeit $1 bill? People don't imitate somebody. It's worthless. But most time you see a 20 or 10 or 100 or 50, it's worth something. Somebody will imitate it. Somebody will duplicate it. It's the same with the gifts. Just because somebody comes along and pretends something does not do away with the real, genuine gift of God.
Amen.
And you can tell the difference. If you want to know whether your gift that you feel was manifested in your life, presence of God, I've got a very good way for you to judge yourself. If it made you feel important or uplifted or proud, that was your flesh. But if it makes you feel unworthy, unacceptable, it's a humbling experience. You don't go around whistling about it, saying, oh, God used me, God did this, God did that. Daniel fell on his face for 21 days. So you can judge yourself. And listen, folks, it's a dangerous thing to imitate something supernatural with God. It's even very dangerous to say, thus saith the Lord, if God didn't say it.
Amen.
Because then if it doesn't come to pass, you make God a liar.
Right.
And to demonstrate him as a liar when he cannot lie.
Right. Amen.
But all men come into this world speaking lies.
Right.
Filled and shaped with iniquity. And it's only when we speak yea and nay and the fear of the Lord that we can say God willing in whatever we say or do. Now, not only the Old Testament, the New Testament, and the scriptures I've given you, but this morning I want to talk to you about what is the purpose that God, or that we need angels now. I think one of them is, or the main one is to help us understand what's going on. Now, the little daily devotion book that we all have here, that's done by Brother Todd up in Canada. Somebody gave me a page out of it last year, and I've had it in my Bible. And if we could have the scripture Psalms 19, verse 7 through 14 up, I'd like to read it this morning. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Now, this is what David said about meditating and thinking about the Lord and how the word will keep you pure. And I guess it was Caleb mentioned a while ago about writing a paper with Buddhism versus Christianity. And yesterday, Tiger Woods, probably one of the most admired men in the world until a few weeks ago, made a confession Friday about being unfaithful to his wife, and he apologized to his mother and his friends and so forth. And the people now say, not because he was sorry, but because he got caught. He referred to his mother's religion of Buddhism. And he said he was taught that you don't have these abnormal appetites and desire of these things, which he was guilty of doing in a sexual way, till he became addicted to it. I was pleasantly surprised to hear some commentators and read in the paper this morning where they said that where he went wrong is that he forsook his Christian faith and took somebody just had a philosophy. You're not to do this. Where Jesus Christ comes along and says, you do this and you can be free from that.
Yes.
Men, it is natural, sinful thing ever since Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden to lust. And that's what he was guilty of, was lust. And he felt he deserved it, that it was his. But that was so contrary to the Christian belief. And when there's people come along and they have an opportunity to do what is right, and then they choose something else because of their own personal, selfish, carnal desire, a philosophy won't take care of that. It takes a spiritual heart change to do something in that life. But now David, a man after God's own heart, was a man who lusted after women. He would be called a womanizer. But God forgave him and restored him. And then this comes along, and Brother Branham makes his statement about this scripture, about this meditation. And I think it's so timely we say this right now. There's all of us that would desire to have the presence of God, desire to have angels present with us. And Brother Branham gives us a very simple formula how to have them. First of all, would be to believe in them. But let me read you from a tape that Brother Branham preached in 1956 on April the 5th. entitled Jesus Arose. Now, I don't have the paragraph numbered page, or I would do it, but let me just read this to you. Brother Branham said, when you go to thinking about him, that's when he appears. They were talking about him when he appeared. Now, this is the two on the way to Emmaus. And that's the reason, maybe, he doesn't appear to as many of us. We talk too much about other things instead about Jesus. Maybe we're talking about trading cars, something else, or the washing. What kind of soap powder do you use? Or listening to the radio and some kind of nonsense. Now, you know, we're all guilty of doing these innocent things. But where they become wrong is because we don't leave enough time to meditate on the things of God. Brother Branham says to draw closer to God, we read our Bible and pray. Well, it's not just a matter, well, I read four verses of Scripture today. It's to take time to meditate on them.
Amen.
Brother Dale Knight tells me that at the beginning of the year, he felt to read his Bible through. And there was some chart or something he got, some program where if you read these verses today, and he not only is writing, reading that, but every day he's writing his thoughts. He's meditating on it. And those of you that would like to participate in that, if you will give your email address to Brother Dale, he'll just punch the button and send it to you every day. At the end of the year, we can print a book like this that we can have Dale Knight's meditated thoughts. I believe that could be good medicine for us as a congregation. But here it says, that's the reason he doesn't appear, if we just keep our minds on him. Let the meditation of my heart, David said in this Psalms. He told Joshua, he said, meditate on these things day and night. David said, I'll bind them on my bedpost. Sure, let them stay inside of you and think of them. Meditate upon them. And that's when he appears. Do you ever notice how the angel of the Lord comes? You have to think about him. You're not just going to be going about all the words, skip to Maloo, and all of a sudden the angel goes, you need to meditate on these things. You need to think about them. Of an evening, you know, I need to say this to you. When I had the privilege to be with Brother Branham when he was in a meeting, there was twice that I can remember that we had lunch together. And when it got to be about 2:45, the first time Brother Branham just got up and left the table. He never said goodbye, hello, I'm gone, I'll be back, take care of the bill, nothing. He just got up and left. I thought it was rather strange, so I asked Billy, why didn't your dad do that? He said, Dad does that every afternoon. He was in a meeting about 3 o'clock. He's in his room. He shuts the door. I can't even go in until I go after him to come to the service. So Brother Branham on this tape says, in the evening at 3 o'clock when I go in, I close everything out. Don't let no one come in, and just sit there and read the word and yield myself until I know he's there. I can feel it when he's coming. He comes in and I know he's there. Now, that's the way you do. That's the way the disciples did. They were with one place and one accord in an upper room, and they were all up there praising him. And all of a sudden, he came in. That's the way he does it.
Amen.
Now, how many of you believe that?
Yes.
Well, then how many of you going to start practicing?
Amen.
sometime or another in our lives on a daily basis. I'll say this. Brother Donnie Wirtz, who was my friend for 35 years, my best friend, I should say, because the time we spent together. Brother Donnie got up every morning and he spent time with the Lord. He read his Bible. He prayed. That's before he ever did anything himself. He had his time with the Lord. And you say, well, why mention him? Because he is one man that Brother Branham says three different times within 10 days that he had the quickening power and was ready for the rapture.
Amen.
Now, Donnie wasn't what people would call a super duper spiritual man. You didn't see him creating a lot of emotion or attention, attracting himself. But I'll tell you what, he had an experience and a relationship with Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And you never heard him get up and say, well, the Lord told me so and so, and the Lord told me to do this and led me. He just did it. He was just a Christian. And that was his personal life. And not everybody will have the personal experiences that you share with everybody else. But we all need a personal relationship with God every day of our life.
Yeah.
So imitate that, please. Spend that time meditating. Now, with Brother Branham in his life, Brother Branham himself says that there was, all his life he had visions. He dreamed dreams. And maybe tonight I'll go through the list and name off all them, but he didn't know what was happening. When he heard the voice in the tree, he ran home to his mother. Mother, there's a man in that tree. He said, frightened, scared, wasn't a word. His mother thought he was nervous. She put him to bed. When he was 15 years old, trying to smoke that cigarette, and that whirlwind came, and his friends all ran, he didn't know what was happening. Not until the day, well, even when the pillar of fire came down on the Ohio River in 1933. And 4,000 or 5,000 people saw it. He heard the voice. He heard the commission. But he didn't know what it meant. 1946, when he was working for the Highline Company or the energy company and was walking the lines, and he went home, and that day at noon, that whirlwind blew him down on a porch. He told his wife, I'm not coming back until I've got an answer. That day, May the 8th, 1946, he goes up to Green's Mill, Boy Scout Camp, Ranger's Cabin, 14 Mile Creek, the Cave, all those are the same area, Charlestown. Brother Branham went there about 11 o'clock that night. Is the first time he ever saw the angel. And what did an angel say to him? I'm sent to you from the presence of Almighty God to tell you that your strange birth in life has been for a purpose.
Amen.
And Brother Branham got an understanding about all the things that happened in his life. Now, you can go with him from that moment on, all the way down through it, until he preaches the seals. And when he preaches, gets ready to preach that seventh seal, which we will play part of it tonight, Brother Branham said those angels came daily and helped him understand.
Amen.
So what was the purpose of those angels in Brother Branham's life? To help him understand. What's the purpose of the angels in our lives? To help us understand.
Amen.
You know, we can have some preacher tell us, but it's one thing for God to open our eyes, reveal something to our heart, and help us to understand. Brother Branham makes this statement about the seals. He says, you can't get the seals, you can't understand them until you get Daniel straight. And this evening, the Lord willing, I want to take you to Daniel, and I want to show you what Daniel was doing when God visited him with Michael and Gabriel and gave him the sixfold instructions, purpose of Daniel, Gabriel's visit, and helped Daniel understand what Jeremiah said about 70 years will you be kept in bondage. And when you understand what Daniel said, then you can come along. Then, Brother Bram said, you can begin to get the seals in place. Now, I'm going to say this, and it's okay. I don't expect people to understand it because they haven't read what I've read. They haven't understood. Maybe they haven't had an angelic visit. But, you see, I think a lot of people have got their own ideas about the seals, the church ages. And they'll tell you they're saying what Brother Branham said, but they're not. Brother Branham says very plainly, he did not reveal the seventh. Tonight I'm going to play that and let you hear him say that. Now, if he did, then somebody's got to tell me when he did it. But what they do is if that happened, then it happened in 1963. Well then, folks, how many years have we had that the seventh seal, which was silence, which is the coming of the Lord, and we're still here? So we have a lot of questions we need answers to. And I am convinced that we're not going to persuade one another. It's going to take an angelic visit to our hearts to help us to understand what Brother Branham meant when he talked about the seals. Otherwise, we're going to continue to wonder and have the cow eating grass out of the top of the tree.
Amen.
Now, what is it, though, if we understood all the mysteries? Even if we gave everything we have to our bodies even to be burned. What does that mean to us if we don't love our enemies? So it comes down to it. It's not whether you got it all figured out right or not, or whether you got the right interpretation, the right understanding, or even whether you hear it right, but can you still love one another?
Amen.
Brother Aaron made mention today that 22 years ago they left one congregation and came to this one. I didn't know till this morning, I guess it didn't dawn on me, that experience had happened. But how is that one pastor can say to a family, if you leave here, you're leaving the word and you're not going to be saved? Now, I'd had preachers tell other people that in my presence. I asked a brother out in front of the church one day, I asked him where he's living and he told me, and I said, well, how you like it there? He said, oh, I hate it. I said, what are you staying there for then? He said, brother, I got to go where they preach the word. And I looked at him and I said, do you know who you're talking to? He said, yeah, you. I said, who am I? He said, you're Perry Green. I said, what do I do? He said, you pastor Tucson Tabernacle. I said, do I preach? Yeah, you preach. But you can't hear the word here. You got to go. No, brother, I got to go where the word's preached. I said, so you're saying I don't preach it. Then, brother, if you're a Christian and a believer in Brother Brown, then you are obligated by God to help me. Tell me what is it that I don't preach. Tell me what Brother Brown preaches that I don't believe. Now, to say I don't believe your interpretation of it is one thing. But to say I don't believe it is another thing. And so I'm being forced, I feel, by the calling that's in my life to push out here and say, God, do something out of the ordinary. Send your angels to instruct us. To help us all to hear the same thing. Not what somebody else says or thinks, but let's look at what Brother Branham said. Isn't that what I did here 4 or 5 years ago when I come to you people and I said one Sunday morning, I said, let's forget everything we've been taught. And let's go back and read what Brother Branham says. And we get an entirely different perspective of it. Especially when you become informed that some of these things got started when the seventh seal wasn't even available. See, a lot of people don't know that when Brother Branham preached the seventh seal, he didn't release it. From 63 to 66, it wasn't even available. And people that was there remembered this, and others remembered this, and what they did is they said what they wanted to say, and now then they've got it, and they've got to have... Well, it's very simple. Brother Branham said there's three comings of the Lord. And you know, that's one of the first things you got to get straightened out.
Amen.
And when you talk to some about, oh, well, there's a difference in the appearing and the coming, and, you know, to take care of that, let me just say this. You don't have any right to separate over that, because Brother Branham said, some says he's coming on a white cloud, some says he's coming on a white horse. Just the truth is he's coming. And what I do know, the seventh seal was silence. Nothing else said. So all this other that's being said is not the seventh seal. That's somebody else's interpretation of it. Because I haven't found where Brother Branham added one attribute to it, one characteristic about it, than silence. All the way back when he preached the church ages, and he talked about this Revelation 19 and the saints coming with white horses on behind him, and he said, then, before he ever preached the seals, he said that's the reason heaven was silent, because there wasn't nobody there. That would be silent, wouldn't it? But Brother Branham said it was like shock. Even when he said he stood there and looked at it. And you can hear him say that tonight. That there's a reason why. Why can't we just be simple Christians and go back and hear what Brother Branham said and let the angels of God and the Holy Spirit, and Brother Branham compares those two tonight. See, as many as are led by the Holy, by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Amen. But the angels are sent to help us understand that. Do you need the angels to help you? Yes. Some would say, I don't need the angels. I got the Holy Ghost. You show me where Brother Branham ever said that. Show me where he was ever that arrogant. That you claim you have the Holy Ghost, you know what? Then that means you can't make any mistakes. And you need somebody to help you. You do need the angels of God. Now, let's look at Daniel chapter 8, verse 16, 17, 18, 19. Let's look at four verses there. Daniel chapter 8. And I heard a voice between the banks of Ulai, which called and said, Gabriel, make this man to understand the vision. Now, Daniel was a mighty man of God. And he sought the Lord on these things for 68 years. When he heard Jeremiah say, let's read that, Jeremiah 25. Let's skip that and we'll go back to the other one, Chris. Jeremiah 25. And this whole land shall be a desolation and an astonishment, and these nations shall serve the king of Babylon 70 years, and it shall come to pass when 70 years are accomplished that I will punish the king of Babylon and that nation, saith the Lord, for their iniquity, and the land of the Chaldeans, and will make it perpetual desolations. Now, Daniel had read that prophecy of Jeremiah, and he was taken captivity in Babylon, and 68 years later, he begins to seek the Lord. God, you said 70 years by your prophet Jeremiah, your mouthpiece. And then we got two more years now. Lord, I want to know what it means. Now let's go back to Daniel chapter 8, verse 10. No, it's verse 17. So he came near where I stood, and when he came, I was afraid and fell upon my face. And I want you to know that if you ever are in the presence of an angel, and you recognize that, you have a right to be afraid, and you will probably fall on your face. But he said unto me, understand, O son of man, for at the time of the end shall be the vision. Now that puts it over in our day when it all comes to pass, doesn't it? Now as he was speaking with me, I was in a deep sleep on my face toward the ground. But he touched me and set me upright. That must have been a rude awakening. This thing I had the other night, this MRI, and when they had me in that machine Friday night for 45 minutes, they had me lay down on this table, and they stuck my head in this little frame, and it was so tight my ears was folded up like this, and they couldn't get their hands in there to push them down, so there was like this, and they had put some earplugs in there to play me some music, which I don't know why they did that. The thing was so loud you couldn't hear the music. And then they put a solid plastic thing like you put in front of a kid at a little booster seat. And it went down here and here, and you press it down, and it goes, clicks in there, and you're not going anywhere. You can hardly breathe. And then one down by my side and one over the middle. And the one Friday night, the Thursday night, wasn't big enough, so they had to get another one. And on top of that, she told me the test is going to last 45 minutes. And I knew here I'm going to be 45 minutes, and I can't hardly lay on my back that long on a soft bed. And then she said, after about 35 minutes, I'm going to bring you out, and I'm going to give you an injection, which is a dye, which goes through your veins so I can see where the blood goes, see any blockage. Well, she didn't tell me she's going to have to go digging for oil. And I could have told her to put the needle in ahead of time because, I mean, you can't hardly get blood out of me. Once you find it, it really comes, but there. And me laying there like this after 35 minutes of that thing, and I'm going to tell you, it's the most miserable time I ever spent in my life. I woke up last night in a dream thinking I was in that thing, and I tried to move my foot, and my toe was hung in the sheet, and I thought I was in that thing. And man, I started fighting to get out of the bed last night. And then my thought went to the poor souls that were trapped in Haiti under a crushed building or collapsed building. How miserable that must have been. My heart goes out to anybody. Even if you was there and you had space to move, it would have been such mental torture. I'd had an MRI before, but they didn't lock me up like this. But I'm going to tell you what, folks, I've had two like this. My first and last. They're going to have some other way to look at this boy. I don't know that I could stand it again. It's a fearful thing for somebody to bind you up. My thought this morning as I was thinking about it went to when I was in one of Brother Branham's meetings one time, and he called that preacher out, Brother Jones, that pastor. And the man had been in an automobile accident. He was in a body cast from his neck down to his toes. He just had his arms out here like this part right here. That's all he could move. And Brother Branham spoke to him and said, you know, you can lay there in that thing and die, or you can get up and go there. And Jones, I was there, and Brother Jones spoke to me, and I took my pocket knife, and a 16-year-old kid, I cut that cast off of that man. And I've often wondered how he must have felt just to be free.
Yeah, amen.
And he's supposed to have been in the thing for 6 months. And I never even thought about it. That was other people standing around me, but I guess they were adults. They had more fear of liability or something, and I didn't know, but Brother Branham said, you know, you can lay there and die, or you can get out of it. And I just took my pocket knife out, and he said cut it off, and I just cut it down the side and laid it open like a mummy. And I remember he had on pajamas, but they had him wrapped in gauze just like a mummy. And I've often thought, how did he feel laying there like that? You know, I guess you folks have had maybe broke arms or legs or maybe a hip or a shoulder or something, you do that, you know. But last night that thing was just, I can't think of how people sometimes are in spiritual bondage. What a nightmare that must be. But thanks be unto God, I survived it. Was I glad when she took that thing off my face and I could raise my head and bat my eyes. I'd rather have him pass by.
Amen.
The great physician. I believe he's done something for us.
Amen.
But here we are. Daniel was looking for understanding. I think we need some understanding. What do we need to know? Daniel got 70 weeks and sixfold purpose, and he had a visit from Michael, and he had one from Gabriel. He got the 70 weeks and those things, but what do we need? If you had an angelic visit, what would you ask God to help you understand? You know, we've got Revelations 10:10, and it says there that when the seventh angel's voice begins to sound, then shall the mystery of God. Well, when Brother Branham preached this, and God in simplicity, and the breach between the church age and seals, he brought it, and he read that verse of Scripture, and he used the plural. He said, the mysteries of God. And he took the Scofield Bible, and he read 11 mysteries that Scofield calls the mysteries of the Bible. And Brother Branham added to the list, serpent seed. predestination, the sovereignty of God, the Godhead. And there are some, when they hear this, they say, well, it said the mysteries should be finished, so everything that's to be taught and revealed, Brother Branham gave it. That's what we hear. But I still have some questions. I think most everybody else has questions. There's some that had questions, but they made up the answers, which I don't hear Brother Branham saying. The mystery of God, as Revelation 10:7 says it, is Jesus Christ of the New Testament. Amen. Was Jehovah God of the Old Testament.
Yes.
And I can show you several places where Brother Branham said, that is the mystery of God. What was it that boomed out in that voice up there in those canyons and those bluffs up there at 14 Mile Creek? When Brother Branham was standing, an audible voice boomed it out and said, Jesus Christ of the New Testament was Jehovah God of the Old Testament.
Amen.
And what is the mystery that the two witnesses are going to give the Jewish people? That Jesus Christ was their Messiah.
Amen.
He was the God that Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob served. That's the mystery of God. That will be finished. But we take any little doctrine, any kind of order, even church order, anything that anybody wants to apply, and if you don't interpret it just like they do, then you're out of the message. Well, you know, a lot of guys are not even going to get to have their wife with them. Or the wife's not going to be with the husband, because I really don't know any two who agree on every word.
Amen.
So somewhere or another, the love of God's got to come in here. We've got to have an understanding with this. And when we've got these things that they don't understand, I think it's time that we can call on angels to come help us understand them. Because if I say it, that's not going to make you believe it. Now, there's some of you got enough confidence, you would believe that I've stayed balanced enough that would help you in the right direction. But really, you need to have an understanding and a revelation. This is by yourself. But you know what? You don't have to know everything either.
Amen.
To make it.
Amen.
And let me prove that to you. Sister Hattie Wright, I doubt if she could have explained to you serpent seed or predestination or sovereignty of God. But she said the right thing at the right time. And she had the right attitude and the right spirit. And God's grace and mercy. I believe I'll see Sister Wright there.
Amen.
But anybody who thinks that you've got to understand all of this in order to be a believer in Brother Branham's message, well, then what are you going to do if you got one thing wrong? You're guilty in part, you're guilty of all. That's what the scripture says. But there's one thing you can do. You can love one another.
Yes.
And I've come to the conclusion this month that there's nothing more important than the love of God.
Amen. Yes, sir.
It is the most powerful force on earth. The love of God covers a multitude of sins.
Yes.
And that'll be the next series when we get started on it. But in the meantime, how do we know and recognize the angels when they come? I'd say that we need to look at what they did and what they were and what they did when they came in the scriptures. And then compare that with what happened in Brother Branham's life and ministry. And then we could look and see those things in our life. You don't take your experience and make the Bible fit it. You take the Bible and make your experience fit it. You don't interpret the Bible by your experience.
Right, right.
You judge your experience by the Bible.
Yeah, right.
I wanted to list off some of these things and make the confession that I have these questions that I would like to have some understanding of. I think we, as a whole, we need a We need an understanding of the tent vision. We need an understanding of the brown bear. The third pull. Revelation 10:7. Now there are some that will say, well, we've got all of that. No, we've got your interpretation of it. But there's very few that I hear tell it like Brother Branham tells it. The seventh seal, the coming of the Lord. The three comings. Now some of these things I've dealt with in local church here under the subject of clarification. But there are other things that I feel like the Lord has allowed me to delve into lately, and that's things that the last conversation I had with this angelic visitation, I asked, when was I going to be able to share this with my congregation? And how many remember the answer I got? Why tell them until they're prepared to believe it?
Amen.
And that doesn't mean you're going to have to agree with me on everything. But if you believe I'm just making this up, then it's not going to do me any good to tell you. It may be bad for me to tell you.
Right.
Because if this is of God, and you gaze on it and you make fun of it, then you could be mocking God. But I don't want you to be afraid of this, because I'm not going to hold it against you. But you know, when Moses was up on the mountain and was doing supernatural things, God told Moses to put some bounds around the top of the mountain so that the people couldn't come there and see up on top of it and gaze at it, lest they do and they blaspheme.
Yeah.
That's one thing that Johnny and the two Richards, my family, we went over there, we found some of these boulders bigger than that TV there and as big as that thing over there that was about 100 meters below the top of it, and it was all the way around the mountain. And it was just like somebody had put them there as a boundary. Don't go above this, because if you got past them, then you could see up on top. That's one of the reasons I believe that Mount Kirkcaldy is Mount Sinai, because God put those there. And it's a dangerous thing for somebody to be telling you that God did something and then you make fun of it. It's just like, I ask this question sincerely. Where is God moving today? We sang the song a while ago, God is moving. Moving in all the earth. Where can you say and believe that there is a move of God? It used to be, if Brother Branham had a meeting, we went there and we believed God was going to be present and God was going to be doing something. But is there one of our conventions that we have today that people would say, well, we need to go there because God's there. God's going to be there. The angels of God are going to be there. The presence of the Lord. God's going to be moving. He's going to be doing something. We believe something supernatural is going to happen. Now, over the last 15, 20 years, there's been some outpourings, anointings, blessings, like the Toronto blessing, the Kansas City outpouring, the Brownsville anointing, those things like that with Brother Joyner and Paul Keith Davis and Cooper and Jones and ones like that that, you know, came here about 3 years ago saying that they felt, four of them felt that they had had an angelic visit like Cornelius and Peter had and was told to go see Perry Green, and they came here. And John and I spent time with them, and then I went to Phoenix and I've been to other places where they were. That group of men are due in town this week. They start arriving Tuesday, and some of them be in church with us next Sunday morning and Sunday night. And I'm told that down here where we had Harmony, they've already got 500 people from overseas in America pre-registered, and they pay a registration fee of anything from $25 to $40. I don't know what it is. But the only reason they do that is so that those people that come from New Zealand, Australia, Singapore, that they're guaranteed a seat. Otherwise, these people spend thousands of dollars and come over here, and the local people could fill it up and they wouldn't have a seat. Now, if the thing is not full, I'm sure by about Friday night or Saturday morning, they'll open it up, and I'll let you folks know if any of you want to come down there. But I'm to be the speaker at Friday and Saturday's lunch. Now, they do that for two reasons. One, because they love me, and they want me to talk about Brother Branham, and they let me say anything I want to say. They feel like God has put me among them to remove the stigmatism from William Branham's ministry. And because they think he's a man sent from God. But they stood right in this pulpit the last couple of years and told you people, look, you people have been listening to William Branham for 40 or 50 years, and we've just started, so be patient with us while we listen. Amen. But I know people who thinks I'm wrong by going down there to them. But you know what? If I got an opportunity to tell 500 people who have never heard before, I think I ought to go.
Yes, amen.
Now, the second reason why they use me for the speaker is because I'm pretty popular among them, and they'll sell out every day. And if they sell out every day at 250 tickets, then they don't have to pay for any of the room rent down there. That's a pretty good bargain for them, too. But I get a free meal out of it, too. But I can say anything I want to those people, and I want you to know, they respect me highly.
Amen.
You may say, but yeah, look the way they're dressed. Look, you know what? How would you be dressed if you didn't know?
Amen.
But you show them where the scripture says something, and if somebody hadn't taught them some interpretation about, well, that's the Old Testament. You see, I even talked about abortion among them one time. And half of the women in there, no doubt, had had abortions. They got offended at me. But I did like this. I said, look, you didn't know Brother Branham, and all I did was say what he said. He said they'd done a very evil thing when they gave the women the right to vote. And he didn't say this. I did. That if women of America didn't have the right to vote, we wouldn't have abortion. That's what's evil about women voting. A woman voting, But Brother Branham said they've done a very evil thing. They've given the women the right to vote because that did pave the way for abortion. And any time a nation kills its kids, God destroys that nation. And America is the only nation Brother Branham saw destroyed by fire, bombs and craters. I say that too. And woe be unto those of us that have hurt Brother Branham for 40 years and don't love one another. Or love those that don't love us. How can we criticize anybody else with all we know and us not doing it ourselves?
Amen.
Lord, in all grace and mercy, have mercy with us.
Yes.
What else would I like to know? I've heard something about 2012. I understand that some schools, there's a movie or something about it, they put it out and the kids have panicked. Because it says that the world's coming to an end on December the 21st, 2012. And there's 14 ancient civilizations, the Mayas, the Incas, the Hopis, Rockard in Italy and Turkey and Germany that they found, and all of them point to the same date, December the 21st, 2012. I started mentioning this to you folks a couple of years ago. I'd like to have more understanding about that. I've read books about it, but I want to know, is there anything to it? And you say, well, Brother Branham never mentioned it. Well, excuse me, but there's a lot of things Brother Branham didn't mention that causes me to have a question. Did God tell him everything that he was going to do? Was Brother Branham omnipotent? Omniscient? Did he know everything? Well then, Brother Branham, times and time again, he said, I don't know. What do you think? I don't know. Was he just deceiving us? Or is it time that we let Brother Branham be a man? Like Elijah was a man, tempted in all ways. And let's, it's just like I said here Sunday or so ago, and Caleb this morning said, are you ready for the preaching of the word? Well, you know, we've used that statement to the point that we do, are you just ready to hear from the Lord today? it becomes so legalistic and so hard that nothing else matters. And I don't put myself as a pastor in that position that my word is law. Without my word is not. I believe the Holy Spirit deals with you people. And I cannot teach you how to communicate with angels. All I can do is share with you what the scripture says and what Brother Branham says and what happened to him and the experiences I've had, and then let God deal with you.
Amen.
And help your understanding.
Yes.
How are you led by the Spirit? Tonight, the Lord willing, you'll hear Brother Branham say that he was there and he said, something said to me. You go on and say, and then somebody behind me was talking to me. A little while later he said, I recognize that voice of being the angel that was with me. Then he go on to say, and then that was what was behind me, stepped around in front of me. He doesn't say he saw it, but the voice was coming in front of him. And he was talking to him about the third pull, the seventh seal, the revelation of the word. And tonight, the Lord willing, we'll start in 1956 from the time he first told it. He was seeking God for some answers. He'd been in California and had gone $15,000 in the hole. He drove all the way across the country. Didn't tell Meadie and Billy about it. He told him just before he got home. They neither one understood. The next morning he gets up, and this is the first time he'd had that vision. He not only calls it a tent, he calls it a large auditorium, a large cathedral. Brother Branham, in August of 1965, tells me personally, Brother Green, I do not know what my tent vision means. I'm shocked. Yeah, I'd say, Brother Branham, you've talked to Brother. I know Brother Green. I've talked to brothers about taking care of the latrines and brothers taking care of the trucks and all. But he said, I don't. He said, I believe the same God that gave me the vision will tell me who's going to do what when I get it.
Amen.
That's when he said, Brother Green, I believe there's a place for you in that tent. I didn't know enough about the tent vision to know what he's talking about. He said, that could have been you on the platform. I said, well, I sure hope there's a place for me. Later on, it was even after Brother Branham left us that I found out there was a man on the platform. Brother Branham calls him a smooth-talking man. I don't know whether I want to be that one or not. He says, now while Brother Branham is resting some, we'll go on and have some meetings. And he called a prayer line. I used to think that was somebody like Brother Sidney Jackson or somebody like that. I had other brothers tell me that Brother Branham told them that was them. And when I said, well, brother, for the sake of wisdom, let me tell you what he said to me. And you know what their answer was? You're lying. He didn't say that to you. Well, how are you going to talk to anybody like that? I believe what they said, that Brother Branham said to them. I just believe Brother Branham was a man. And he didn't say, thus saith the Lord. He didn't see a vision. I just said, Brother Branham, I hope so. I hope there's a place for me. And I got my own personal feeling about it. I think it has something to do with the resurrection, a body change. We're going to be caught together somewhere to be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air.
Amen.
And it doesn't matter to me. Brother Branham told me I need to make sure I get to go to Durban too. But I don't make everybody else believe it. If Brother Branham told me to be pushing a wheelbarrow, you people wouldn't see me anywhere without a wheelbarrow in my hands. But I wouldn't try to make all of you push a wheelbarrow.
Amen. Right.
See, that's where the difference is. Well, Brother Branham told me to push a wheelbarrow, and you got to push a wheelbarrow. He didn't say that. We're all called by God.
Amen.
And I'm praying, God, help me to understand what your prophet said. Open my eyes. Let my heart be open. Let me read it in the scriptures. Let me see it in your word. Let me hear your prophet say it. Reveal it to me. Quicken it to my heart, Lord. Let my brothers admonish me and help me with that. Don't let me shut anybody else out. That's my desire. But then what a day that'll be when it does happen. And God fulfills it. In the meantime, I think that I have learned something in reading the scriptures and studying what Brother Branham said about angels. And I, just like I started this off, you know, that God did things and he said, and they perceived me not. I think I've become more perceptive of seeing what God does in my life. Just like Abraham did. At first he didn't recognize that, but later on he did. And I think we just need to become more perceptive to know that God is dealing with us. He's moving by his Spirit.
Yes.
We need to surrender to that. As Brother Branham said, meditate on it. Yield our lives to it. Wait upon the Lord. Seek his understanding. And love one another. So that in all these things, God can judge. And you know what? We should be so in love with each other that if somebody comes and tells you, know, Brother Green, so-and-so happened, and I tell you then, we ought to be sympathetic to one another. Not, well, I don't see it. Just let God bring it to pass in your life.
Yes.
Not only 2012, but the European Union elected their first president last month. He's a man from Belgium. I'd never heard of him before. But the Lisbon Treaty is now in effect. It's the old Holy Roman Empire. It's been established as one nation, European nation. I'd like to understand global warming, climate change. Is this man-made? Or is this a scam? I'd like to have a little bit better understanding about this Pope coming out of America. I wouldn't even have that thought if Brother Branham hadn't said it.
Amen.
Then I really pray that God will keep us up to date on Israel, God's timepiece. And this thing with Iran. Every day now I'm getting asked by people, or every day that I'm available, somebody asks me, I'm getting asked about the trip to Israel. I want to go. I've got the tour company that says we can go with them and the price is right and they'll go out of their way. But when I ask them questions, is it safe? They say, we just don't know. But Reverend Green, since you seem to know, we don't recommend it right now. But if you want to go, some others are going and we'll take you. But we got no guarantee. Well, I don't know. Who wants to take the responsibility? And I've looked at it like this, as long as I feel the way I do, well then, maybe God's got a purpose in this. But I want you to know that there's other things too. And there's so many modern nations in the world today. I believe that America and Germany and Great Britain and Russia, I know Brother Branham saw them by vision. I know they're in God's plan. But I believe that this international move of the Muslim faith, I'd like to understand what part that plays in God's kingdom among religion now. The Antichrist. The mark of the beast. There are some things about that I don't fully have the answer. I don't know. I know people who get up and preach on it though, just like they got all the answers. And Brother Branham said, when they got all the answers, you know they're wrong. But how many of you think of those things and you got a curiosity about them? But we want them right, don't we? But you see, I read you last Sunday where these angels know everything in the world. See, how the angels know everything except the day of his coming. So if we're going to know these things, it's going to be because there's going to be an angel come tell us. Now, Brother Branham was given three pulls, three ministries. Sign in the hand, secrets of the heart, and then a third pull, which he identified as the word when the sword appeared in his hand. But there's still things about that that I don't think anybody knows. You may say, well, Brother Branham revealed it all. That's your understanding of what he said. You see, it's just like when you hear Brother Branham on the rapture tape say that the shout is the message, I hear something different. I hear Brother Branham saying that a shout is somebody delivering a message. Well, why do you shout? Because you want somebody to know something. And I can take and show you Brother Branham's study of his words. And one of the simplest is Brother Branham says, now I've heard Brother Green many times speak. He puts verbs and adverbs in different places. But did Brother Branham, one statement, say that his message was the shout? Because it comes along and says, and the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. Well, then they've taken that and made Brother Branham the Lord. You don't take it and, well, it's got to be that because it's got to be this. If you're going to do anything, just say what Brother Branham said and don't add nothing to it, and then I'll say amen. But when you say Brother Branham said the message was the shout, and that was the Lord himself, and Brother Branham gave the message, so you've added to it then. Brother Branham distinguishes himself from the Lord. He says, if you substitute him for Jesus Christ, you make him Antichrist. Now, he says that in plain language. That's just like somebody getting up saying they believe that Brother Branham was Jesus Christ reincarnated. I don't believe that. Brother Branham had Christ incarnate in him, but he was not reincarnated. Reincarnated means the first one died and the second one took his place. Now to say that, it's like us using that word. Are you ready to hear the word? It's like to say Brother Branham was reincarnated, Jesus Christ, seemingly makes him higher or more holy or more righteous than everybody else. When Brother Branham said he was a sinner, amen, saved by grace. Yes. They say, well, there's no difference between him and Jesus Christ. I beg to differ with you. Brother Branham needed a Savior. Jesus Christ did not. Amen. Jesus did no sin, had no sin, knew no sin. Brother Branham said he was a sinner.
Yes.
And needed the blood of Jesus Christ. A simple one. Jesus never said, thus saith the Lord. He said, I say unto thee.
Amen.
Brother Branham said, thus saith the Lord. So let's be careful how we say it, because there's a spirit about it that if you're not careful, it'll get on you. And you'll think you're being spiritual when it's Satan blinding you and leading you in a direction that Satan looks at and laughs. He said, I got them fooled.
Yeah.
Now, what makes it antichrist to put Brother Branham in such a position? Because it takes everything away from the bride, you as an individual, as a believer, and puts it in Brother Branham, because if anybody accomplishes anything or is used by God, he is trying to imitate William Branham. No, I'm trying to imitate Jesus Christ. I do not have the spirit of William Branham in me. Brother Branham never gave me a spirit, but Jesus promised me his spirit.
Yes.
And if I have the spirit of Christ, then I will have the same spirit in me that was leading Brother Branham.
Amen.
That's the way I look at it. God help us to clarify it and understand it with that. But in the meantime, you believe he's coming on a white cloud? Fine. I just know he's coming. He's coming back for me and you. What a day that'll be. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. When I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace, when he takes me by the hand, and again as we stand, what a day. When he takes me by the hand, what I would beg of you to do is to meditate on him this afternoon. Take some time this Sabbath day after you eat or before you take your nap or something. And my body is addicted to a Sunday afternoon nap if I get time. It can tell me when Sunday is, when the other days it don't affect me that way. And I think that's something God put in us. We're supposed to rest on the Sabbath. But why don't we meditate on him? Just take a time to sit quietly somewhere and read our Bible and let the Spirit of God speak to our heart. I don't necessarily say meditate on what I told you today, but you're going to have trouble meditating without thinking about some of it. So at least ask the Lord to help you understand. Any question you've got, seek his counsel. And then listen to it. Amen. Some have got it like this, though. I've got my mind made up, so don't confuse me with the facts.
Yeah.
Read what the scripture says. Read what Brother Branham said. Think about it in your own heart and life. I felt a little checked a while ago when I said something about Brother Branham not knowing everything. I guess I'm at a little bit of a disadvantage there or something, but most of the things that Brother Branham preached in the Church Age and the Seals, I can show you where somebody else wrote a book about it. And a lot of people say, well, Brother Branham didn't get it from nobody. Well, I beg to differ with you. I happen to see the books that he read. But the gift that Brother Branham had with the angel that came into the room with him every day helped him to take what Smith said and Larkin said and Philip Schaff said and others said and say, this is right, this is wrong, and put it together and then bring it to you and I. There was an angel of God every day that helped him understand, and that's what he gave us. Brother Branham didn't have a vision of blind Bartimaeus having a seeing eye lamb. He read that in Prince of the House of David. I've got the book right over in my office where he checked it off. You see, we sometimes think that we are complimenting Brother Branham when what you don't know is, what you don't understand is there's a spirit about it that's trying to tell you you can't hear from God. But I'm telling you that every one of you can be led by the Spirit of God. Amen. And to be sons and daughters of God, you've got to learn to be led by the Spirit of God. I can't teach you. You have to yield to it and listen to it. And when you begin to hear voices, you're not going crazy. Because if I'm standing in a room with you, I may not hear it, but you'll hear it. Now, I have not seen the angel. I've not seen one. But I believe in him.
Amen.
It don't take me seeing to believe. I've had conversations with him. And I think I would recognize the voice of the one I've been talking with. Brother Branham did his. Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. Oh, isn't that enough for you to go home on now? Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. Yes, amen.
dismissed. God bless you.